Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. We have a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes, from setting a post or pouring a walkway to installing concrete block or natural stone. We've got the mix you need in stock today. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Okay, just get rid of that. Chiru PLC is signaling return to growth after a difficult period of supply distribution. And as distribution expands and new partnerships roll out, the key question for investors is whether this marks a genuine inflection in revenue and cash generation, or simply a recovery phase that still needs to prove itself in the numbers. To joining me today to answer those questions is Scott Livingston. Scott, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Martin. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. So now you've highlighted that Pulsin has returned to broad stock availability, to quote your RNS, and that order flow is improving. I suppose the question I'm asking here is, can you quantify how much of the current growth is genuinely underlying demand versus, you know, restocking from previous supply constraints?
Yeah, so we've had supply constraints over the last few months, which we've now rectified. So we're going back into stock in the main retailers, in the international retailers as well. And obviously, we're going to be generating a lot more revenue because of that stock. We also have new opportunities. We have a Swiss distributor that we're going live with, a Dutch distributor. We have a number of new outlets. We have new stores as well. So there's a lot of growth. Now, obviously, being on the back foot and having problems with stock over the last few months has not helped. It's hampered our growth. So growth now is going to come from expanded distribution in existing channels plus new channels. And it's a very exciting time now. We won't have these problems again. We've also brought costs extremely low and under control. We've got great partners as well. And we're in a really good position now with all of our range.
So you mentioned that Switzerland, and you've also referenced Virgin Atlantic in your sort of release there. How material are those deals expected to be in terms of revenue contribution over the sort of next 12 to 24 months?
Yeah, so as with everything, whenever you go into a new channel, you tend to be put on trial in a small number of, whether it's planes or stores. And then what the buyer is looking for is a rate of sale. So if the rate of sale is good, we will then get more channels, more distribution, more stores, more planes or whatever. So if we do a good job, so to speak, it will grow exponentially. And we've had that. You could see that with Co-op Pulsin as we went from 80 to 1,000 stores. And obviously, that was simply because of the rate of sale, which is, you know, what we love about Pulsin is it's a product that people like, people tell their friends about, people repeat buy. It has the sophisticated set of ingredients, which stands itself out versus the competition. And so all of those other things being equal, we expect these new distribution points to start small and grow.
Okay, so how have margins sort of trended post-supply issues? And, you know, are you seeing any pressure from ingredients, you know, logistics or sort of retail pricing expectations?
So I'm sure there are a lot of industries that are really are struggling with this current situation. Now, previously, when Ukraine kicked off, we did have various ingredients sourced from Ukraine. Currently, we don't. Currently, we are basically sourcing completely within the UK. There are a few European farms where some of our wholesale distributors, if you like, will source raw material. But in the main, we haven't had any disruption so far. Obviously, we would predict potential energy cost, distribution and logistics cost increase, which we would therefore potentially have to pass on. But currently, our sector, our businesses are not affected from this outbreak, which is obviously a complete disaster generally. But no, we are, our production, our supply chains are in good shape.
Now, you've mentioned exciting acquisition opportunities. What type of assets are you targeting, and how do they fit within your existing portfolio?
Yeah, so we're looking at various brands that are free from, they have certain criteria. A lot of the parameters we look for is they've got a certain amount of revenue already, they've got a certain amount of stores already. It's not just D2C. They've got a certain amount of repeat customer base. When I say D2C, direct to consumer. So we prefer them to be on shelf somewhere and to have been left on shelf. So buyers have made the decision to keep them, as in the run rate, the units per store per week or whatever, is good enough to prove that that product is selling. So we've got a number of opportunities that we're looking at, and they're all very exciting. Now, we could be quite choosy because there's quite a lot out there, but we want ones where we're sharing the same consumer demographic, potentially sharing similar ingredients, same sort of marketing channels that we would be approaching, obviously similar, same buyers. And there are a lot to go after. Now, obviously, if we did make an acquisition, we would need to either raise capital or leverage to buy bigger businesses. However, there is some distress that we're looking at where we can simply absorb them into our own ecosystems and perhaps do a sort of equity deal. And we are looking at those types of deals too, where really it's just a little bit of working capital that they need. Yeah, so it's a good time for that.
So, leaning into that a little bit more, then, what safeguards are in place to ensure that acquisitions like that don't distract or, I suppose, dilute from your core business?
Yeah, that's always a risk. And so we're quite particular in who manages it, how it managed, what are the processes like, what is it going to take away from our management team? And in the past, we've learned from mistakes in other businesses too, where, we've had too many brands and too many things going on and not enough people, and we're stretching resources. It's a fine balance. And we are looking for brands that can fit quite easily in, using our existing overhead structure, and are not too reliant on an existing management team, where obviously that would be a risk if they were to leave. So it's not a perfect science. There's always risk in this, and obviously a lot, most businesses are ultimately all about people, so we have to be very conscious of that.
Now, one thing that sort of did make me smile was this offering discounts to shareholders. It's an unusual but interesting approach. What's the, is it customer acquisition, brand loyalty? What's going on here?
Well, I sometimes engage with people who approach me, investors, and they say, "Can I get some samples?" And obviously, I'm very happy to send free samples, but the processing time and emails of dealing with that, I just thought, well, why not offer a little discount? So if anyone's interested in trying the product, they get a little reward from us because they're obviously following us as an investor. So,
So
and we encourage them to try the product and tell their
I'm
friends.
correct in thinking this isn't a material commercial channel you're looking at. It's more of a soft
No,
marketing.
this won't be in the forecast.
Well, Scott, thank you so much for your time today. I know you're busy and everything else, so I really appreciate talking to you.
Thank you, Martin. Thanks very much. See you soon.
Tura appears to be transitioning from a period of operational repair into one of expansion and brand building, but the real test for investors will be whether that momentum translates into sustained cash generative growth. We'll all be watching closely as the company begins to report numbers that could well validate that strategy. This is Martin Luke, and you've been watching Vox Markets. Thank you very much. Okay, are you happy?
Yeah, that seems all right, doesn't it?
I think that went well. Happy to go with that. Let me just
Get it out there. Yeah, no worries. Thanks very
I
much.
you don't want us to send you a to You're okay for that to go, yeah?
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week, we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words "Jesus saves" written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That's amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.